Next Hour in Radio, your home for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Air Systems. 101.3 The Buzz, now live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. It's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
And Jason Hildebrand.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio, whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app. Thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We'll be breaking down this past week's race at Michigan, where we saw the best late race pass for a win as Kyle Larson won his third straight race at MIS. It's Bristol, baby, and we'll discuss the Bass Pro Shops NRA night race coming up this Saturday night. We'll give our power rankings, picks to win, and so much more on today's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owasi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. To my radio left, co-host Jason Hildebrand and the Ugly Mug. Hold on. Almost 55 years old. That would be Scott Webb sitting across the table spinning the tunes. Fellas, how's it going?
Yeah, I've applied for my ARP card, just in case you're wondering.
That's AARP for those who are wondering what ARP is. I didn't know what ARP was, so I was just assuming since you're old you would know that. But
thanks,
anyway,
man. I appreciate that.
It's good. So, boys, man, we went to the biggest track, one of the biggest tracks on the circuit last week, all the way to now. We are going to one of the smallest tracks on the circuit. So, huge chase or playoff implications.
It's huge.
This weekend with only two races left after this weekend at Bristol. So, a lot of people trying to get in. First, I want to mention this, though. I got a text from Sean Whitfield, boss man, before I got here. And, of course, earlier today he texted me to make sure to tell me he was getting on an airplane in Atlanta because, you know, he, unlike us, I mean, we've got to drive down to Florida when we go, especially Panama City. I mean, it's only, what, 6 hours away, right?
Right.
Sean flies. And then he texted me about something about an umbrella drink that he was drinking down there in Speedos, and it just got a little crazy for me. So, Sean, I hope you're enjoying the beach down there. That's what happens.
The hardest working man in Panama City.
That's exactly right. You know, I'm wondering how he gets to do his Valvoline Racing Radio on Rock 105.
Valvoline Racing Radio live from
down
Panama
there
City.
From Panama City. So we, I guess, need to get a better sponsor. Maybe the
That's
Holiday
no kidding.
Inn
They're
Express
still kidding on that.
Panama City or
something. I totally agree that we need to take this show to a beach at some point in the near future.
We can maybe Parksville Lake, but
Parksville,
I mean, we can
live from Parksville Lake.
Grasshopper.
We could do that. So. Hey, I will tell you this, Jason, is we all look pretty nicely dressed in here. Webb's actually wearing a button down.
I got a button down, a good tie on. I got, you know, working hard, man.
Yeah.
Work hard for the money.
Comes along with the paycheck, right? So
yeah.
Working hard for the money.
So hard for it, honey.
And Kyle Busch, my nice stand-up, is still here with me today. He's joining us as well. So.
Oh, it's back to the Busch, Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle, that Kyle.
Well, yeah, it can get confusing on who he's actually pulling for. Did you see my text?
Yes, I loved it.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right on the money.
I didn't really see your text.
No, listen, and for those of you out there in radio land that weren't in on the text chat, my man over here, Larson, pulls off this great win at the end of the race, and there's my man. That's a text I get. There's my man this week. There's his man. So I text him. I said your three favorite race car drivers are whoever finishes first, second, and third.
And to that I said, agreed.
Yeah, he agreed.
Exactly. So
front runner Kyle.
That's where it's at. Kyle Larson did get the victory Sunday at Michigan. What a late race pass. We'll talk about that a little later
man,
in the show.
Awesome. Yeah.
First, I kind of want to talk about, I know I mentioned a little earlier that three races to go. It's getting really down to the wire. I think there's two spots left in the field of 16 to get in. And Jason, amongst, you've got 2, 4, 6, you could say 7 drivers or whatever that could get to that point. It gets to a point now to where you think two of these three races, two of those 6 or 7 need to get a win to make sure that you're definitely in.
Yeah, I mean, and the guys that we're talking about out there, you know, are very capable of winning at these tracks. You know, you're looking at Logano out there, Eric Jones, you know, Clint Bowyer, Chase Elliott, who's been very consistent all year, still, what, top 5, top 6 in points, Jamie McMurray, who's up there. So there's a lot of guys, Matt Kenseth, I mean, a lot of guys out there that are capable of winning, and it wouldn't surprise me at all, unless it's the Kyle Busch show all weekend at Bristol, to see one of those guys lock in their spot this weekend, this Saturday night.
Would be kind of interesting. Scott, do you see it playing out? Is two guys win to get those two spots, and for the first time in the playoffs,
I tell you what we typically see is we see these guys that are backs up against the wall. I mean, they've got the pedal to the metal. They're already in the playoffs. You know, we see this in all sports. As you start to get to that playoff cut point, you see teams start to elevate their game because they know they got one last push. Some of the guys that are a little more comfortable, the Truexes, the Larsons, they can gamble and do some stuff, you know, but they don't really – I mean, the outcome is really they're in, they're locked in, they're in great position. So we usually see an uptick for some of these teams. So look for Boyer to be a factor this week. Look, Kenseth has run terrific the last couple of weeks. Look for that. McMurray was right up near the front. It's really kind of strange how that always seems to work out. I can remember at the cutoff race at Dover a couple of years ago, Junior was needed to get in. Well, he hadn't run good at Dover in years. All of a sudden, he finishes third. Jamie McMurray's right on his heels. He was on the cutoff line. So it's amazing how when their backs are up against the wall, they can kind of elevate their game, and we look for it again this week. You got Clint Boyer, who's actually sitting 10th in points ahead of Jimmy Johnson in the point standings, but Johnson's comfortably in with three wins, and Boyer's just driving as hard as he can every single week, just trying to find a way to get in. At this point, Boyer may need help. He may have to win a race just to get in.
Well, you know, him going to Stuart Haas Racing in that Ford this year kind of got off to a little rough start on the season, but you know, really turned it around and driving the wheels off now.
Somebody who's backs against the wall, really, and had a bad showing at Michigan on Sunday and finished 28th, Joey Logano. He's got this unencumbered win, right? Which, by the way, Bubba Wallace got. Now he's got an unencumbered win. There's two people with those. So I just hate the unencumbered. It sounds weird. But anyway, Joey Logano finishes 28th. He's got the win, not going to count. Feasibly, really, I mean, I don't see. This is a guy that has been, you know, in the chase, been in the final four. I don't know that he's going to get in.
At this point, there, you know, you can usually tell how a team is running. You know, they qualified well this week, and then, you know, it just kind of went downhill from that point going forward. You can see the ebbs and flow in momentum. Momentum is a real thing in sports. Don't let anybody tell you any differently. And right now, they're trending away, and we've got other cars like Boyer, who's running terrific right now. Now, he could be great and not make it in as well as they've run the last 6, 8, 9 weeks. And they're still not going to make it. So Logano and that team is really at an uphill climb. And I don't look at – you look at the schedule, you tell me where the win's going to come from. Can they win Bristol? Could they win – obviously they won at Richmond before. Can they find a way to make that magic happen again? I don't know. I see the trend. You know, you see the trend meter. Sometimes you'll see is the stock up or the stock down. Right now the Logano stock is down, in my opinion.
Sounds like a segment we should do, maybe by
Stock Up, Stock
Regions
Down
Bank or something like that.
Yeah, so, I'm all in. You know somebody at Regions may want to sponsor that?
Probably not, but I do know somebody at Regions. let's talk about momentum going into the playoffs. We've got several drivers that are in there. If we were to look at the top 10 in the playoff standings, top 10, top 12 or whatever, who would you say out of that top 10, top 12 has the least amount of momentum going into the playoffs if the playoffs were to start tomorrow?
Top 10, top 12. I would say Jimmy Johnson at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a spot on, you know, because they have their
how do you have peak, three victories
in your 11th in points? You know, it's the consistency within that team is un Jimmy Johnson like. Now, we had a similar conversation at this point last year, and the playoffs started, and then they just started winning races again. So you don't know how much emphasis they're putting on what's going on right now and how much they're gearing up towards the playoffs. But you would like to see more consistency from that group of drivers. I'll admit, I thought Larson would be somebody that could kind of fit into this category, because the last 4 or 5 weeks, they've been kind of, it's not a great term for it, but that's not really the only term I can give for it. But obviously they bounced back and got a win. He kind of stole one this week. Can they find a little more consistency in their speed? I thought his teammate McMurray had been running the better the last 4 or 5 weeks. But they, you know, they were able to get a win this week and maybe generate a little momentum going forward.
And McMurray still finished ninth, and that's one of the things that we talk about. You know, year over year, it's like the Ryan Newman of trying to get into the playoffs. Jamie McMurray's always been kind of that guy. Now with only two spots left, I don't know that you got to, you can do that. You talk about the people, the drivers who, you know, don't have anything to lose. They can kind of go for broke. But don't you think if you're that top five or six drivers that, you know, the bottom five or six drivers that Jason mentioned earlier, those guys, you can't just go and try to points race your way in because you don't know if, you know, two of the other ones or three of the other ones may be having a good run and a possibility to win.
Yeah, I mean, if you're like a Chase Elliott or Kenseth, I mean, you're hoping you get repeat winners. If you're not the winner, you're out there
right.
pulling for a Kyle Busch or a Truex or a Kyle Larson. Guys out there that win to keep somebody else from popping up and winning and knocking those guys out because basically they'd be in solely on points.
And don't you think, Scott, that's going to mess with your strategy at these upcoming three races? If you're, you know, in that bottom five, bottom six or whatever, you've got to be looking at what those other drivers are doing to try to finish ahead of
them. Well, you're part points racing, obviously. You're part still trying to win races. So it depends, you know, with people like Elliott, McMurray, Kenseth, they are probably going to air a little more points-wise because they're kind of in that points mix. But you get guys just behind that, you start looking at Logano and at Eric Jones and Suarez and Junior. They're going to be on the opposite side of that spectrum. They're going to be uber aggressive and try to do something different to try to get themselves in position to win a race. So there's two sides of it. There's the gangbusters, I'm all in, I'm going for wins because that's the only way I can get qualified. Then you're going to have those three or four guys. And again, it's just three or four spots really between three or four guys that we're looking at. But if something fluky happens and we have a Pocono from last year and Chris Buescher wins a race, then that really throws a wrench into it. So I think the guys that are point racing, there's a very delicate balance right now. We can't afford to have bad finishes. But we've also got to take a chance and try to get a win if the opportunity presents it.
You know, one of the things I was looking at Michigan on Sunday is that two drivers, and this is going to come into play as well as some of these drivers like a Chris Buescher, like a Trevor Bain, finished fifth and sixth respectively at Michigan on Sunday. There's a bunch of guys down in the 20s and 30s that can come up there and kind of ruin some things just trying to get a good run to finish the season. Those two guys, Chris Buescher, Trevor Bain, I will say with Roush, it seems like, let's take this now, there's three races to go before the playoffs, take it back to the first of the year. Have we seen a kind of a resurgence of such from Jack Roush this year?
You know, you look and you see Stenhouse has two victories. His drivers, you're sitting there thinking 18th, 19th, 25th. You know, they're not great, but I think they're better than Childress at this point.
Right, they're better than Childress, and there's some obviously there's some types of tracks that Roush seems to be running better at. Obviously, the Super Speedway program has been terrific, but we only raced a couple of those. Only got one more left this year. So they were good at Michigan, a speed track. I mean, they were running, they were hitting, you know, they were going in a two turn one at like 217. I mean, that's flying. It's the fastest track in the circuit anymore. So in those types of tracks, the handling, the mile and a half, those type of tracks, we've kind of see them kind of be much the same that they've been in the past. So an improvement for me, yes, a little. But it's they've not reached those, even that middle tier. They're kind of in that upper bottom tiers where I would kind of put them of the competitive teams. Now, those single car teams that are just throwing people out there to get sponsorship, that's one thing. But of your competition, of your competitive teams, your Ganassis, your Hendrick, your Gibbs, you know, your Childers, all that stuff, that team is going to be at the bottom of that list.
Definitely. All right, so what we got to look forward to now is finding out, one, again, if Martin Truex is going to win more stages going forward. I think he got another one at Michigan on Sunday. He's got 35 playoff points, 15 stage wins. We've talked about that a number of times on this show going into this new playoff system. He can clinch this weekend the regular season championship, which is, you know, something new as well. He's been consistent all year long, and I think that's what you got to look at. I think that's why he's a favorite for the championship.
he is a favorite for the championship. And don't forget that there's bonus points in, with that finishing second. I think it's 15 bonus points if you win the regular season championship. So that just shows you how dominant that car has been. We're still 3 weeks away from the end of the playoffs, and he's talking clinching. I mean, that's remarkable in what he's been able to accomplish, the stage wins, the wins. How many times this year has he been the best car and not won? Obviously, they're still clearly the favorite. I mean, they didn't even qualify top 10 this week, which is unusual for them, and they still found a way to make that happen and get it done and put themselves in position to get a win. So what they're doing is outstanding. They're doing things, as Alex Hayden said last week, that no other team is doing. So it's remarkable to see what they're doing and how they've been able to be so consistent from week to week.
Well, we'll hear from the guy who passed Martin Truex on a great end of the race. We'll discuss the end of the race and then hear from Kyle Larson when we come back right after this.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Babbling Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, talking a little Michigan. I mean, it's whatever Wednesday. Talking some Michigan, talking playoff scenarios.
I like it. Whatever Wednesday.
Whatever Wednesday.
Whatever Wednesday.
That would be good if we did a show every day, but I mean, I guess we can't do whatever
That's
Wednesday.
That's my whole day. Whatever Wednesday.
Yeah, whatever Wednesday. I agree with that.
So, it's crazy. This segment sponsored by Esther Suggs.
I wonder if we know a guy out there that could put that on a t-shirt.
I don't know. But let me do this read right here.
No, you go right ahead.
Segment brought to you by Esther Suggs Allstate Insurance. If you're looking for an insurance agent, one that's going to call you not just when it's renewal time, but anytime she gets important information that has to do with your insurance policy, give Esther Suggs a call. You can find her online, EstherSuggsAllstate.com-ish or com. All right, so Kyle Larson. Pass. It's not the pass in the grass. That was a good one. This was probably a little better considering the fact that I think everybody thought that Martin Truex Jr. had this race whipped because mm-hmm. he was kind of tearing it up towards the end. And then you never kind of count this guy out, Jason. He's young. He just come off, you know, racing at the Knoxville Nationals in a sprint car. Almost won that main feature. Did win, you know, a heat race. But it's like when it gets
Didn't
in those situations. Didn't run over anybody. When he gets in these situations, he's probably one of the best at the wheel and one that you would want on your team at the end of the race.
I mean, the guy gets good restarts. You know, and I know it's coming down to the end of the race, and they were talking about how important, you know, Chase Elliott was to get a great restart. And you saw him not get a great restart. You see Martin Truex jump out there, and all of a sudden the 42 comes from out of nowhere. And I'm like, there's no way he just made that pass. And it was actually pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah, to me it was the pass of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we see situations where guys win races that really didn't deserve to win races, or we have guys that have dominated a race, and you know, Truex has been so dominant this year that you just expected that if that car's out front in clean air, it's going to win. And he's been terrific on restarts. You know, we haven't really seen him make a mistake on a restart. And I don't, you know, the first that. Next to last caution, you know, he got a terrific restart and checked out and looked like it was all over. But he didn't get quite the restart on the second one. And then Larson just, I mean, he just stuck it in there. And just one of those things where you stick it in there, try to get inside of him and hold it wide open going through the turn. And he said it in the interview, just hope it sticks. And it did. And he got out in front and won the race. What a great move. That shows you the kind of talent the guy has. He's going to win a lot of races, but he's definitely got some sort of voodoo going on at Michigan right now with his third straight win at Michigan. You know, what a win.
One of the things you look at is we talk about this new NASCAR with, you know, these young drivers coming in. Kyle Larson really considered not young anymore because he's been around for a couple of years or whatever, but this guy is still, age-wise, still relatively young, has a long career ahead of him.
You sit and think about Logano, you know, think about how young he really is. Even though he's been around the sport for a while, I mean, you think about these guys that have been there that are still young.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
what's Keselowski? He's like 26, 27 years old. I mean, Logano's in that same boat. I mean, it seems like Larson's been around, but you got to remember, it's only year three for Kyle Larson. I mean, this guy's like 22, 23 years old. So he is just starting to figure it out. I really think the sport, in terms of talented drivers, is in a great position. And there's going to be a lot of young, talented drivers to fall back on as long as the sport can survive some of the other stuff that's happening from a business standpoint. I think the sport's in a terrific position.
Definitely a terrific position. Well, Kyle Larson has 3 wins on the year. Second most playoff points. He's got 18 playoff points. Second to the 35 of Martin Truex, so not a close second. But he gets his 3rd win of the year. If you saw Chip Ganassi down in the pit box, strong-arming, whipping, whatever you want to call it, as crew chief, comes out there, slaps Kyle Larson upside the head.
That was a solid cross, right cross to the noggin there.
You could tell it dazed him, too, because he's like, he just slapped me. So it was good. Kyle Larson was definitely fired up. Let's hear from him in victory lane.
Yeah, that's some awesome company for sure. No, it was a awesome finish for us. Kind of a struggle all day, honestly. You know, I was good when I could find clean air on my car, but anytime I'd get any bit of dirty air or any bit of the wake from the car in front of me, I'd get extremely loose, even when I wasn't close to anybody. So we definitely didn't have the car that we had here the last 2 times we won, but we kept fighting, probably even harder than we did in those other 2 wins. So caught a caution at the right time there to line up 8th on fresh tires. Got to 5th and then edged in front of Chase for 4th as the caution was coming out, and that allowed me to line up behind Martin and get a good restart. I was running a few different options through my head under that red flag of what to do, and that one was one of them, and it played out exactly how I had hoped. And this win feels amazing, to steal one in a way. And my other 3 wins, I felt like we had the first or second best car, but today, at times, I didn't think we were a top 10 car. But to get the win that way is awesome.
Definitely was awesome, and probably not the best car out there. We knew the 78 at that time had the best car, but he mentioned 3 times something regarding air, and it's kind of refreshing, speaking of air, going back to Bristol this weekend, where air doesn't really make a difference. So clean air, dirty air, and then wake, which
if
is kind of
banged
watery.
Up, it don't really matter.
Yeah, so it should be
unless
good.
Unless you get your door torn off, like I saw a couple years ago.
and foam flying everywhere, yeah. That was actually pretty funny when that happened. Denny Hamlin, I think, he ran over
it was
to get
Hamlin.
That. So, all right. We've got a couple of news and notes. They had a big test today in Chicago. Several drivers there. I know Jimmy Johnson was there, Austin Dillon, Chip Ganassi Racing, Germain Racing. Looks like everybody was pretty much represented. And then they had Chevrolet, Ford, and Toyota had their respective Wheel Force cars there on hand with Alex Bowman and David Reagan and Drew Herring, name I haven't really heard, in a Toyota. So I hope they found something at Chicago to make it a little more competitive when they go there in the first race of the chase.
Yeah, Chicago gets one of those cookie-cutter mile and a half that can be a little a little bit of a snoozer. So that's as much excitement as I can get. I think they're actually moving Chicago out of the playoffs next year.
Yeah,
is it going to be the ending the last race? I can't remember how they tweaked the schedule a little bit, moved it out.
Indianapolis is going to be the last
race. I think
Indianapolis
is going to be the last race before the chase. So they kind of shuffled the schedule a little bit, so we'll see how that plays out. It's just one of those kind of tracks. You can see some decent – you see good racing at that track from second or third back. It's once you get out in front, clean air just means so much at those tracks. Hopefully with the some of the new cars and things they're continuing to work on, we can start to see a little bit of that. Hey, man, this is your
– it's my show.
It's your show. You
your
just
show.
Do whatever you want
Jason's
to do, buddy.
Show. So we need to do that. All right, we've got some interviews in the third segment. So we're going to go ahead and do the Monster Energy Series point standings, brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. Listen, she is looking for people that want to buy houses. When you have a bunch of inventory, you need people to buy houses. She's looking for them. You can give them a call, 473-9545, or call her sale, 650-9429. She will help you find your dream home. Scotty, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup standings after the pure Michigan, and it is pure, 400.
Speaking of air.
Martin Truex Jr. is still your points leader. As Kyle mentioned earlier, 35 playoff points, 15 stage wins. Remarkable what he's able to do. Kyle Larson vaults into second place this week.
Kyle Busch is third, Kevin Harvick fourth, Brad Keselowski fifth, Denny Hamlin sixth, Chase Elliott seventh. And this is really where you get into that mix of guys still looking to get in. Chase Elliott, Jamie McMurray, Matt Kenseth, Clint Bowyer, those are the four that are competing for those last few spots. Jimmy Johnson 11th, Ryan Blaney 12th, Joey Logano 13th. Points wise, I don't think there's anything he can do at this point. He's going to have to find a way to get wins. Your other winners are Kurt Busch, Ryan Newman, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Casey Kane, and Austin Dillon. And that is your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standings.
Brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. Make sure you give her a call if you want to sell your house or if you're in the market to buy a home. You can call her at 650-9429 or 473-9545.
All right, yeah, I apologize. I didn't really bring my A game on the read there.
No, that was
crap. That was
Chicago crap.
That was Chicago crappy.
So we'll go with that. All right, when we come back, we'll start talking about Bristol. That's right. And actually, you have racing tonight with the Truck Series, so 9:30.
8:30. Yeah, that's 8:30 is doable. 9:30, I'm thinking, man, I'm catching the first few laps of that baby and checking out.
Make sure you go to sleep. You know you go to bed early now that you're an
executive. Well, I don't go as early to bed as early as I should. It's stopping me, but hey, that's what the weekends are for.
That's it. All right,
that's what Sunday at Chicago races are for, naps.
We'll talk about the last great Coliseum and Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend when we come back.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus.
Live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Whether you're listening to us on The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. We have broke down Michigan, talked about the point standings. Now it's time to move into the last great Coliseum coming up this weekend. Dale Jr.'s last run at the last great Coliseum, I think 2004 might have been his only good memory of the Bristol race.
And he's running both races this weekend, Friday night and Saturday
night. Ooh, a little bonus junior action for you.
That'll be pretty good for those of us who will be down in the pit area on our annual trip up to Bristol Motor Speedway to hang out up there. So maybe we won't have a place to sit, but we'll have a place to stand. I think
stand
that'll
there
be
and
the,
watch it, baby, in the pits.
That'll be the big thing. So Bristol Motor Speedway, every time we talk about it, I know the last...
just watch the cars going around the track. When pay attention where they're at.
Right. No, you got the big Jumbotron up there now.
Yeah, Colossus. I know, but I mean, yeah, that's before you got the life scared out of you down there.
That's true. I will tell this story. It was fun. Jason always brings it up because he got to watch the whole thing and witness it. But I was sitting on the pit wall with my back turned to like turn one and two, and all of a sudden I hear what I think to be is like a bomb. I'm ready to run because I'm thinking something just went down at Bristol Motor Speedway and I've got to get my tail end out of there. And all it was just a car on a qualifying lap spinning out and hitting the wall. And that's how loud it was to see that car hit the wall.
And it was before they did the multi-car out on the track. That's a single car.
Sissy.
I still remember white number 32 unsponsored car, and we were actually sitting right by where it was in the garage area or whatever, so we kind of got to see it come by. For the noise, it didn't do that much damage, I can say that.
Now you see why you got to sign a waiver.
Yeah.
In those places.
It was kind of bad. So, but yeah, always fun going up there. It's always good to see Bristol in short track racing. I will say they've put they've talked about this a lot, and they're going to apply it just like last year and in the spring, the resin or whatever you want to call it down at the bottom of the track.
Yeah, you know, it's supposed to have some thunderstorms roll through there on Friday. Not sure how that's going to affect what happens Friday night with the Xfinity race.
And how much time they'll have to prep that.
On it.
Right. And, they reapplied it again after the Xfinity race. They went back out and reapplied some more. And it seems to work for a period of time. And what we're seeing is that as the race progresses, then you start to that lane becomes
unusable. Not unusable, but it doesn't have quite the traction and the grip that the top lane does. But at least it gives you options. And that's, you know, we like to see multiple grooves. When it's just follow the leader, it's hard to pass. Even in, you know, even with as much banging and stuff that you can do at a short track, if you have only one option and one way around a guy, then pretty much you have to just beat them out of the way if they're close in speed. But with a second lane, it gives you at least options. And we'll see them take advantage of that as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the night race this year. The high on Saturday is supposed to be 89, full sun. How's that going to be affect the track more so than what we saw in the spring?
Yeah, 100,000 of your closest people with 89 degree weather. That'll be fun. That'll be fun.
We won't have to worry about that.
No, because you'll be standing in the pits.
Yeah, well, our legs will probably be wanting to worry about that. So one thing, you know, you mentioned rain on Friday night last year. At this time, it rained out the Bristol race on Saturday night.
If Jason's going to Bristol, there's a great the chance of rain has increased.
Well, I don't know. You weren't there last year, were you?
No,
you weren't there last year. Mm-hmm. So it went 25 laps, and it it just rained and kept raining.
I pick and choose wisely. You know, I pick and choose wisely.
You know, if Jason's going, there's a good chance it's not going to rain.
I think it was the spring race a couple years ago
where he saw Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah, he was there for about four days.
All I can tell you, bro, if it's raining Friday, so you know what you better do early.
Right.
Yeah. You don't care to elaborate?
I guess I got to tell that story. Get the tent up, right? That's what I got to do. Because there was a year, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, that Adam Harner and I go every year. I think this is our ninth year going.
It's like a monsoon that came through.
So Friday night was perfect during the race, and I had Adam and I had neglected to set the tent up previous to going down to the racetrack.
That's a mistake you make once.
That was, and that's the last time we made it. But we get there, and it's perfect. And as we're walking back, we're walking by the drag strip and getting ready to walk up this huge hill to get to the campground, and you hear thunder. And it's like, oh, no. And so we get up there. We try to put the tent up. Does not work. I mean, I think that was remnants of some hurricane that came through that night that didn't get established until right before it hit the coast because it was windy and rain. So needless to say, I slept in my Honda Civic. Which
soaking wet, which
yes.
is yeah, that's exactly how you want to spend your Friday night.
You know, the funny thing about that is, I got up at about 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, couldn't sleep anymore. I drove down to a grocery store; that was the only thing open, and I went and got
the food
something.
Country, yeah, not food city, yeah. But it was food country. It's closed now.
I got a newspaper and I got something to eat and something to drink. I just sat in the car and waited until everybody else got up. So. Yeah. It was good, but always fun to go up to Bristol. That's what making memories is all about. So,
good times.
It is definitely good times. All right, so they talked to a couple people this week. One, Clint Bowyer, and asked him, how does Bristol compare to other tracks when it comes to the atmosphere?
There's no better atmosphere that's so close to you that you feel that environment, those fans, like Bristol. I'm telling you, driver intros, you're walking down there. I mean, it's just the feeling that comes over you before you get in that car is something you don't feel anywhere else. It's because of the closeness of the fans to you. They're all breathing down on you and expecting big things out of you, and you can't wait to go out there and get in
that. That is one of the good attributes about Bristol is you're so close to the action there. You've got nothing but about 15 feet, Jason, that separates you if you're on the front row from the racing action on the track.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a neat environment. I mean, I've sat multiple places there, up high, down low, and you know, there's not a bad seat in the whole place. I mean, like I said, we've been there, we've seen it from multiple angles, and it's really fun. I mean, you see all walks of life there. I mean, somebody out there wearing pajamas.
Dale Earnhardt makes an appearance every year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a good environment, and he's exactly right. I mean, you can see these drivers right in the car as they're coming around. You know, it's a fun place to go.
And you're so close, no matter if you're – you know, a lot of times if you go to Atlanta or some of these bigger tracks or whatever and you're in the pits, you get as close to that action as you can get. If you're in the stands, you feel like you're far away from it. There, no matter what, because it's so close. I remember the first year I went, I sat 13 rows up on the front stretch, and I felt like I was in the pits because I could see everybody that was right there. Sure. And then as they started, I realized rubber hitting your face, you know, from the side is not a good thing. But it was a lot of fun there, too. So they did. Kyle Larson's been in the news, of course, winning Michigan. They did ask him after his big win last week, what can he expect this weekend at Bristol?
Bristol is probably my favorite racetrack, and then Homestead would be my best racetrack. But yeah, I always look forward to going there. It's kind of like a 500-mile sprint car race, just to how aggressive it is and, you know, slide jobs and running the top, run the bottom. You know, the with the VHT on the bottom now, you got multiple lanes you can run. Traffic is intense. It's just a, you know, a lot of these tracks you go to, you can kind of, you know, ride a little bit throughout the middle portions of the race, but Bristol, you're on edge the whole time, racing hard, and it makes a lot of fun. So our race cars are pretty good at Bristol. Could probably be a little bit better on the long run stuff. I feel like as the race goes on at Bristol, Bristol and the track takes more rubber, I tend to slow down and become more even with people. So
definitely a lot of slide jobs that go on up there. That's one thing I think Jeff Gordon kind of perfected there for a while was, you know, going into, well, I don't know what that was, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Going into the corner or whatever. I remember Jeff used to dive down to the bottom and then slide back up. So yeah, I'm glad.
No, it was just some behind the scenes Bristol.
That's what I'm saying. I'm glad talks. We don't have
some of that webcams. Stuff is yeah, some of that stuff is broadcastable, some of it's not.
Yeah, most of it's not. So
that's the nature of Bristol. That's exactly it. Some of it's broadcastable and some of it's not.
That is exactly right. All right, the last cut is Casey Kane. Got a win this year, got no ride next year. I did see some information, that, especially NASCAR.com, they're talking about he may go to the 77. I seriously doubt that. I think what Alex said last week is probably more feasible with the new team coming up that's in the Xfinity Series now that will partner with Hendrick. We'll see him, but they ask him how Bristol changes from the spring race to the summer race.
Over the years, the track to me has just gotten faster. It, you know, with the grip that they put on the top, and now we're putting grip on the bottom. So it's as fast as it's ever been, I think. And, you know, throughout an entire run, the cars don't fall off like they used to. You're probably some of your faster laps are later in the run than they are even at the start sometimes. So just trying to battle through those things, be able to pass cars and be in the right position like any other track. But, yeah, Bristol's it's a good track to go to. Track position means a lot, and then on the longer runs you can make moves, it seems like. But yeah, I think the night race to me, in the past especially, there's so much like the vibe and the excitement of it, you know, is so good. And, you know, so it's neat to be part of that race and try to get a night win. We won during the day, and that was really cool. I think I won at night and maybe Xfinity, but yeah, it's just it's a neat place to be to race. Just a small track, everybody's close together, and
he's such a lively interview, Casey.
Yeah, that was riveting radio right there. Thanks,
that's,
Casey.
It's almost like a Chicago on a Sunday afternoon. I mean, you could catch a nap.
Yeah, I did. I got about, you know, 15 winks.
Did you guys ever listen to Mike Leach call a football game on air?
Oh yeah, that was about as good.
Yeah.
All right, so this weekend's schedule, you've got Friday night, you've got the Monster Energy Series NASCAR Cup qualifying. That'll be at 5:45. 3:40 will be the Xfinity qualifying. You can catch both of those on NBCSN. And then at 7:30 on Friday, you've got the Food City 300, the NASCAR Xfinity race. That'll be on Saturday. It will be 7:30.
That's truck race tonight. Don't forget that.
I was going to get to that.
Oh,
that'll
my bad.
The
hey,
green
sorry.
Flag. That'll be on NBC, actually. They're going to NBC, not NBCSN, on Saturday
night. Yeah, for Saturday night, they'll be on NBC.
For the night race. So, as Scott mentioned, truck race tonight, 8:30. That will probably be on
FS1.
FS1. So, make sure you watch that. That's always a fun race up there. I believe they had the modified race today, it seems like.
Yeah. Yep. I understand why they do it on Wednesday night. You'd rather them do them Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Kind of make it a weekend, but you know it's a good night. It'll probably get a decent draw on TV. A lot of people gearing up for the weekend, so it's always been a fun race. I think those last couple years ago we had a wreck at the finish, so some good racing. It should be good. A good time. Trucks hardly ever disappoint, to be honest with you. They're pretty exciting to watch. So I'll definitely be tuned in tonight.
Just looking at the schedule there for the practices on Friday, looks like there's going to be some rain involved. Looks like about a 50% chance of a thunderstorm around that time. So
I know Bristol Motor Speedway sent me an email stating that Saturday's forecast was 89 and sunny with no rain. So maybe they you know, felt bad about last year.
0% chance, buddy.
Yeah, so that'll be good. So we'll definitely get to watch a race Saturday night. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about best average finishes at Bristol, which is kind of unique. And then we'll also give you our power rankings and picks to win. We'll be right back.
We'll be back faster than a Jimmy Johnson pit stop. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Live from the Babylon Instant Oil Change Studios, it's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. To my radio left is no longer Jason Hildebrand, who had to step out to go take care of some business. He's really going to buy his ticket to Bristol. I think that's what it is.
That's what I thought.
He can't get over the fact that he may have to stand the whole time. You know, like there's worse things to do in the world in the pit area. But I'm sure he's out there on his phone hitting BristolMotorspeedway.com and getting his ticket. So, all right, Bristol coming up this weekend. As we've made mention, we are always excited about that. What's usually our annual trip is a radio show to go up there and hang out. Well, hey, I don't think you're joining us.
No, I'm not
going to
make it this year. I've got a family coming in town, so it looks like I'm going to have to follow this one on NBC on Sunday night or Saturday night.
Yeah, and if they show anything down in the pits, we'll be there.
Hey,
so,
thanks. Can you give me live updates from the pits?
We will do that. I don't know. The reception up there is not too
it's
well.
That, yeah, when you get 100,000 people up there, it's using hard, especially their cell phone. Now that Sprint's out of the business, if you don't you have a Sprint line, you're a little lost.
I noticed that, and I do have the Sprint line, and to be honest, you know, now that they're out of the sport, it didn't really work well up there when they were, you know, in the sport. So maybe I'll be looking for another carrier to make sure that I can get that. So all right, so top 10 best average finishes at Bristol Motor Speedway. Surprisingly enough, and I know, you know, every time we look at these, and I appreciate you putting these in here every week, Scott, but every time we look at them.
Thanks. I'm working hard for the money.
You are. You normally see somebody up there that hasn't had a lot of runs at Bristol, but it's kind of weird to see Chase Elliott at the top of that list.
Well, actually, you look at the top you look at the top two with at least three or more starts. You got Chase Elliott and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. It's not necessarily those short track
easy
specialists.
For you,
yeah, that really kind of stick out. So it is a little surprising, and Junior's on that list as well, but a lot of his better runs have been you know, in the past, much later in the past, the last 3 or 4 years he's kind of struggled up there, although he loves the track. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Obviously, Elliott, a good finish this week is going to be key to make sure he maintains that point lead to stay out in front and keep himself in position to make the playoffs. But we got some other guys. You know, we got Clint Bowyer on that list. Matt Kenseth have had some good runs there. I think Kenseth actually won a race I went to a couple years ago up there. So obviously some guys still trying to position themselves for the playoffs. So it's always an important race, but it seems like there's even more pressure this year because of the amount of wins that guys have got. You've got a great group of drivers that may not qualify for the chase. Well, it's not the chase for the playoffs anymore. That are really good drivers. I mean, there's some big name guys out there. You know, McMurray, Elliott, Kenseth, Bowyer. Those are all guys that you would think at the beginning of the year have an excellent chance of making the playoffs. And some of those, Logano, I didn't even mention. Some of those are not even going to make it this year. So, a lot of big important races as always.
The thing that sticks out to me on there, and you touched on it, is Bowyer and Kenseth. Those two guys really need a win. And Elliott to get into the chase. So three guys that run pretty well up there. I know Bowyer a couple of years ago had a good lead until he ran into a lap car. Maybe the lap car ran into him. But, you know, he's always run well up there. He likes the short tracks. That's where he came from. Kenseth's been running good, as you chronicled earlier in the show.
Yeah, we've really seen a kind of a bounce back, Jamie, don't you think, over the last couple of weeks, the Toyota cars. We've seen Hamlin be a lot more competitive. You know, Kenseth has been terrific the last 2 or 3 weeks. Now, some of that is the pressure of, hey, we've got to throw it all out there because we've got to find a way to win or continue to make have good runs. But, you know, one bad race, you have a bad week here. Kenseth finishes 38th or 37th in this race. You know, he brings a lot more people back into the chance of pointing their way in. So a lot of stuff can happen, a lot of intrigue this Saturday night. Like, You know, it's one of the great, it's one of the big races of the year. It's a big deal. The drivers think it's a big deal. The fans think it's a big deal, and it should be a lot of fun on Saturday night.
Definitely should be. All right, let's get to our power rankings brought to you by Whitfield Media Group, who is the owner of Whitfield Media Group, is down at the beach in his flip flops. And
yeah, as I played a little Def Leppard for him. We've got that in common, both big Def Leppard fans.
Like Def Leppard?
We do.
But I bet you don't wear Speedos because I know he
probably. I probably would not like, yeah, you would not like that image, yeah. Me in a Speedo.
It reminds me of a person that would probably be like in, you know, in California, wherever, that Venice Beach, where they're out working out on the beach. That's Sean Whitfield doing that in his Speedos.
Whoa. I'm going to struggle the rest of the night getting that image out of my head.
yeah, that would be a bad image. All right, let's get to our power rankings again, brought to you by Whitfield Media Group. I went with the 42 of Kyle Larson. He impressed me this week, so I put him up front. No other reason why. The 78 of Martin Truex Jr., the 18th, my guy, and that would be Mr. Kyle Busch. The 2 of Brad Keselowski, and then, I don't know, I just like Jamie McMurray. I don't know why. Maybe Jamie has something to do with it. I don't know. But had a pretty consistent year, and I look for consistency in my power ranking. So I'm going with the number 1 of Jamie McMurray. Should we do Jason?
Yeah, let's do it because it's pretty legit.
All right. So
all right.
Go ahead.
You got it? Oh, you want me to do it? All right. He's got Truex Jr. on top, and I don't blame him there. Larson 2nd, Busch 3rd, and I believe those are actually 1, 2, 3 in the standings. Kevin Harvick 4th. He's actually fourth in the standings. Yeah, so he's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's kind of, that sounds like a shot. Sean Whitfield.
I know. And then
power rankings.
And then he skips one.
He skips one and throws
Denny Hamlin
in there at the 5th spot.
It's kind of amazing that he does that. I mean, it's like, you know, 1, 2.
No,
three,
I mean
four,
every time.
Then,
well, listen, every time Boss Man's on, Sean Whitfield's on. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, he has a problem with the power rankings.
I don't get that. Yeah, you know, he struggles with the concepts of power rankings.
Well, it's because everything's got to be black and white with him. There's no gray.
Black, you know,
he's looking at a black and white.
He just
sheet.
Wants to know where they all stand. We'll right. just read off the top 5.
It's crazy.
That my list is not terribly different. I do have the 78 obviously is still, I think he's clearly head and shoulders the favorite to win a championship this year. I did move Larson into 2nd this week. A little disappointed with Busch. I know he had a decent finish, but I'd like to see, that's a track you would think with the speed and what they're able to do, he could do a little better at. But I got Kyle Busch 3rd. I got Hamlin 4th, and for my 5th pick this week, I went a little outside the box, and a guy that seems to me like they're running pretty well. They may be the best Ford out there right now, and that's the 21 of Ryan Blaney. And I really like Blaney. If he can keep the fenders on it and not wreck himself out like he has a tendency to do, he could be a factor again this week up at Bristol.
Definitely. There's a lot of cars that could be a factor this week up at Bristol. And before we get to the winners, storylines coming out of Bristol, I'm going to go ahead and say this, Scott. I don't know.
Go ahead, say it, buddy.
I'm just going to say it. Somebody's going to win that's not in the playoffs right now, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on Darlington and Richmond.
That's a bold guess, man. That's a bold guess.
Could really happen. Look at the drivers who haven't won this year that run well at Bristol. Yeah, who's to know? I mean, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. could easily come and do something here with this. I mean, you've seen many cars that have good runs up there. Definitely, it comes to mind, Clint Bowyer, and I didn't even pick him, but he's one that comes to mind up front. The guy I did pick is Joey Logano. Joey Logano's won a couple of night races up there in August. Runs well, has a win, but didn't count this year. So he's got to get into the playoffs. I think he does that solidly on Saturday night. I think you see the 22 in victory lane.
Jason, and I like Jason's pick, a guy that is that traditionally runs well there. And I just mentioned that he won there just a few years ago. He picks Matt Kenseth, so Kenseth to win. My pick, I'm going to go with the guy that just seems to finish up front every single week. And so I'm not even going out on a limb. I think he's going to win at least one stage, and he's going to get his 5th win of the year. I'm going to take Martin Truex Jr. at Bristol.
Well, at least our good buddy Arnold, he goes and picks the 14 of Clint Bowyer. So, you know, 3 out of the 4 of us picked a car that needs to win to get in. And then somebody goes with a safe choice that, you know.
Well, I haven't picked him in a long time. I could be the jinx that has caused him to win races because I haven't picked him.
So
now I'm going to
jinx him again.
We'll see how it happens. Yeah. I mean, I get it. You could pick him every single week because, I mean, they roll off the truck fast. So they're fun to watch. I mean, he's
what they're doing, it remind, in all seriousness, what they're doing does kind of remind me of Jimmy Johnson, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, where they just, everywhere they're fast, everywhere they give themselves a chance to win, it seems like Cole Pern and Chad Knaus, when they're in those moments, they always make the right decision and put themselves in great position. There's no reason to think that he can't win every single week and that he's not going to win the championship. They've been that good.
And if he wins and a couple of things happen, he could wrap up the regular season championship Saturday night at Bristol Motor Speedway. So should be interesting to watch. All right, tune in next week. There's a good possibility we can have the spotter for Jimmy Johnson, Earl Barbin, on the air with
still
us
trying
next
to work
week.
All that out, but that'd be pretty cool to hear from him.
Yeah, I think we got a pretty good chance to get that done. So, and one of the reasons I wanted to do that is I want to get you, the fan, a different perspective on what it's like at the racetrack. We hear from the drivers all the time. I think it would be really neat to hear from somebody who probably is one of the hardest working, other than the driver and the crew chief, people out there trying to keep Jimmy in and out of traffic and keep him clean throughout the whole race. So hopefully we'll have him on. Make sure you tune in. We may announce that a little earlier if we know for sure on Twitter or Facebook to make sure we get that out there. But we'll also be recapping Bristol and a lot more. We'll talk to you then.
This has been Racing Talk Radio. Hawassi Chase Air Systems. Join Jamie Collins, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.